So you, yes, so you got your master's degree. But I was just thinking that there was a fair amount of attention and activity focused on Burnaby Mountain just about during that period, the early 1990s. There was a proposal to build a velodrome on the site of the old brickworks at the north end of Burnaby Mountain Park. Mm. And that proposal had been accepted. Can you tell me about what you remember about that proposal and the decisions around letting it be built in Burnaby Mountain Park? Because essentially, it's a bit confusing because they call it it's Burnaby Mountain Park, but it's also referred to as the conservation area.
Yes.
So here there is this proposal to build a velodrome. So I was wondering how parks would have looked at that.
Boy, you're testing my memory here. Let's see. So is the velodrome inside the conservation area or was it zoned separately? Do you know?
They refer to it as being in the conservation area.
Yeah. My memory's a bit foggy here. So the area was previously developed, already been cleared and developed. It used to be, I think, a brickyard, you said? There was amenities.
So it was a disturbed site already.
Yeah.
Well, one of the interesting records that I found was a letter from the Intermunicipal Planning and Conservation Team. Do you remember them at all?
No. What was the date of that?
That would have been 1990. Because the proposal for the velodrome had been submitted.
So and is this between the university and the city? This inter...
You know, I'm not quite sure. I need to find out more about them.
What was it called? The
Municipal Planning and Conservation Team. I'm thinking it's a regional group.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And their letter to the city observed that there was a lack of overall planning for the conservation area. There was no plan. And so the decision to build the velodrome would have been made on specifics of the proposal itself.
Yes, it was being done separately from any conservation planning work. The conservation plan itself was done after the velodrome was in place. I'm not too clear on the timeline or the process that the velodrome went through.
Some of the reasons that Parks gave eventually for approving it was that it was on a disturbed site. It was in an area that you could actually leave trees so that it was somewhat shielded from view. So you could say it didn't exist
from
the highway.
Yeah.
But they did say also that they would make sure that as it was being built, that it had as little disturbance, little as impact as possible. So it's an interesting combination of... Yeah. You know, we're good with this. It's a recreation facility. Yeah, it's in a park. And we are somewhat concerned about the conservation area values, too.
So we may not have had the conservation plan done, but I think it would still have been part of our overall ethic, overall values as we were looking at the velodrome proposal. And certainly some of the points that you made were points we would have considered at the time and said, well, you know, this is a value to the community. It is on a disturbed site, so it's not environmental disturbance. We could manage it. It's not that it's incompatible with the conservation plan, just perhaps we didn't have the plan to test it against those larger set of principles that would have been involved at the time.
At the same time, up in the pavilion area, there were some interesting things going on, too, because the formal rose garden was put in. And the site for the Ainu totem carvings, the Playground of the Gods, was cleared and ready to receive those totems. Can you tell me any stories about those projects?
The flower beds, of course, were there for many, many years, and the Horizons Restaurant and the development of Burnaby Mountain, it's that visitor area for a long time, many, many years that's been there, maybe since the 60s, I suspect.
The formal rose garden that's there now was designed and built. It was actually built for the 1992 city centennial.
That's right, for the centennial, yeah. So there were flower beds there. We added the rose garden. And
okay,
the
so there were some decorative gardens.
Yeah, there were decorative gardens there and a parking lot and the pavilion. Those kind of amenities were there prior. Yeah, during the centennial, we added further embellishments there. The totem poles, that was an interesting process. This gentleman came to the city with a proposal to build the poles there. Much debate, I think, amongst the city staff and probably the Parks and Rec Commission at the time and probably community as well, too. But I think it got quite well endorsed that it added a feature. It added a cultural level of amenity to the site. And this gentleman went about building those poles himself, I guess with some support from the city to make it happen. And I think it was quite well received overall. It added sort of an interesting flair to the site. So,
In what way?
Well, it told a story of another culture that we were a sister city for. So there was that greater connection because we were sister cities, and it gave this interpretation. I don't remember the details of the interpretation now, but at the time it seemed to be quite fitting for the location of Burnaby Mountain tied to view of the ocean, which had relevance to the message that was contained within the totem poles.
Mm-hmm.
So we quite welcomed it on board and thought it was really an added feature.
I was just wondering how you think those projects added to people's experience on the mountain.
Yeah, definitely. I think it brought more visitors, more tourists there. So people were coming up for the restaurant, the views, to be able to just enjoy the setting. And I think this provided that extra layer of some intrigue and interest. You know, it's like, well, what are those things? And what's the story? And as you walk through the pathway and the interpretive signs, it was an added feature that I think added some diversity to the landscape, and I think was quite welcome.
Yes.
By the people, yeah. Are they still there? I haven't been there.
Oh, yes, they are, and the gardens are lovely.
Yeah. There was always a question about how long the poles would last, because they weren't treated.
Right.
And so we thought, well, it may not be a long-term thing here, and I think the city said that they wouldn't maintain it, like let nature take its course, and when these things, age and need to be removed, then that will happen, and I think that would be okay. But so I was just curious to know if they were still there. I have to go back and see them myself.
Yes. Yeah. You know, while these projects were going forward in 1990-91, the city was busy asking Simon Fraser University to return university lands outside the Ring Road to Burnaby so that they could be included in a proposed dedication referendum for Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area. And at the same period, the city also received a report called The Nature of Burnaby. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
I remember. It advocated for a more, I guess you could call a biocentric approach to managing parks. For example, I mean, here's the Rose Garden going in, and what it's advocating are plantings with native plants in the parks.
Yeah.
So tell me about how Parks was handling this interesting confluence of events, which all seem to be encompassed within the concept of a conservation area.
Well, I guess Burnaby was evolving, like all cities, and had launched this program, this Nature of Burnaby, to start making sure that efforts are being undertaken to preserve and protect those natural resources, those features. So that was good. That was very important. And I think Burnaby was a leader in many ways of that. At the same time, I think there was a lot of attitude in the city and in the Parks Department that is very conservation oriented. So maybe the conservation plans weren't done, but I think people were still thinking that way. And we were probably busy doing conservation plans for Deer Lake, I think was the first priority before Burnaby Mountain and Barnett and Burnaby Lake, but certainly, you know, there was very high environmental values there. So, you know, I think it's quite acceptable that these features are being added, whether they're rose gardens or totem poles or other features in the parks that may not all be primarily environmental oriented, but at the same time they're not environmentally damaging. They're still being done always with that desire to be the least impact possible. And I know that was the attitude of the staff in the department at the time. So, and if some proposal came along, even if there wasn't the environmental management plans in place, the ethic and the commitment was still there from people. The environmental committee certainly provided more information and guidelines about things to do, to areas to protect, and best management practices that just added further to that ability to preserve those natural features.
Tell me about the environmental committee. What was it about?
Well, the environmental committee was a committee of council. So it was created by committee, just like the Parks and Rec Committee, or the, which was a commission, actually, Parks and Recreation Commission. There was an environmental committee. It reported to city council, and it was represented by several councillors, and I think a councillor chaired that committee. And then there would be staff members there as well, too. So there'd be a parks person, a planning person, engineering person, staff people that would be on this committee. And collectively, we would develop environmental guidelines or conduct like the State of Burnaby environmental assessment and environmental management plans. I think it was very early in the evolution of the city, very forward-thinking to be able to establish an environment committee. And I think a lot of great things came out of that committee.
Mm-hmm.
Like doing a State of the Environment report, all done by city staff. That was pretty good.
So I guess what I find interesting about that is that the environmental committee, it was recognized that it needed to be a separate entity, that it couldn't just remain inside the Parks and Recreation Department. That
right.
There was a certain focus for Parks and Recreation, and then
right.
There needed to be another focus on environment, but to bring in all these different players, I guess.
Yeah, yes, definitely, because the environment committee isn't just looking at parks, it's looking at all operations within the city, whether it's stormwater management, city planning directions, all facets of city operations get influence and affect the environment. And so, yes, it wasn't just parks and recreation things. It had a fairly high level of setting in the city, so it reported directly to council, and then council could then direct in your all the other departments according to the policies or recommendations that came from the environment committee. So.
Do you remember when that committee was formed?
I don't. I'd be guessing.
It'll be in the record somewhere.
You can find it. I don't remember its date. Do you have a date for that State of the Environment report by chance?
I don't.
No.
Well, the Nature of Burnaby report was 1990.
Yes. Yeah, so the Environment Committee was probably very, very late 80s, maybe early 90s then, yeah.